People are concerned about money, health, relationships. Always good to read Job. Now, most people don't like to read Job. First of all, it's very philosophical. But second of all, it's about how a guy trusted in God and God failed. In other words, that isn't what it says, but that's what people think. Well, you know, this guy did everything right, and then God let the devil get him. And a lot of people fear that. Man, what if I serve God and God never comes through? What if I serve God and God lets me down? What if I do everything right and God never, you know, answers any of my prayers? What if I was planning on serving God and then hoping things would go well and they don't? What if I lose what I have? Maybe it's better not to try. So a lot of people kind of conclude after a while, yeah, I don't want to hope too much. I don't want to try too hard. A lot of people become hardened. They become kind of jaundiced about Christians. Because Christians promise so much. And then where is this God that's going to deliver? I better play it safe. Don't brag on God too big. You know, he's good, but not, you know, kind of, you have to wait till the world to come. So a lot of people, they don't like this Job story. I had a very good friend who feared that one day, you know, he just kind of looked at his life and he thought, wow, everything's going my way. What an incredible life I have. And he remembered Job. It just kind of came into him. And fear just caught all over the guy. Because he had just, out of his mouth, had just said, wow, what a life I have. And he was just thinking, you know, a lot of people are struggling and so on. But, you know, me, I'm blessed. I got all my family. I'm well-to-do. You know, just everything. And he was retired. And, you know, just, you know, doing everything he wanted to do. All of a sudden, fear just caught a hold of the guy. He's just trembling. He could hardly talk for days. Job, it's a good story to read. Let's look at Job 10. I like it. It's very graphic. My soul is weary of my life. Now, that's a good Christian testimony here. Job, remember this is the guy that said, blessed be the name of the Lord guy, you know. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, you know. But now here the guy is going, let's get honest here. My soul is weary of my life. You know, sometimes when you're a Christian, you get tired of being a Christian. You get tired of being happy. You get tired of saying God is good when life stinks. And you know, you just get tired of that. So this guy was just getting dead flat honest. My soul is weary of my life. Have you ever been that way? Anybody here ever experienced that? Tim, you have? You're the only one, I guess. You know, just Job is so honest here. He was such a liar in the beginning. Mrs. Job, of course, just flat out curse God and die. Job, let's get this thing over with. I'm sick of this God. But Job, you know, is hanging in there. And I think a lot of people, when troubles come, a lot of people still want to give a good word for God. You know? And then life just keeps dragging on and you just want to gripe like everybody else. You know what? My soul is weary. And you know, just, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm tired. You know, I'm sick and tired. You know, and so a lot of people, they want to give a positive message, tell how great God is, be like Pastor Jim. And it just gets you down. And you think, I wonder if Pastor Jim ever just gets discouraged. Does he always, yahoo! Is he always up, you know? Because I sometimes life makes me sick, and God just doesn't come through. Is that true? Anybody? Yeah. So Job's just being honest here. He's just going, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, how can a guy be a Christian and be bitter in his soul? How can you get bitter? How could a Christian ever be bitter? How could someone knew that God saved him and loved him and redeemed him and was with him all the time? How could a Christian ever get to the point of bitterness where you were bitter, complaining, hateful? Well, anyway, Job had this experience. He was downcast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? He was downcast. He was just kind of depressed. How can you be a Christian and be depressed? Ever known Christians who were depressed? They're few and far between, but there are a few. So he was depressed. And so he just let God have it. I will say unto God, that's who to talk to, do not condemn me, show me. I like it. Don't condemn me, show me. I mean, what is it you've got against me? How come you're against me? What's going on? I've done good. I don't think I did anything wrong. I think you're just letting the devil get me, and it's not fair. And at first I put up with it, you know. I said, blessed be and all that. But now I'm getting ticked off. I'm getting mad. I'm getting angry. I don't like it. And I'm just, I took it for so long. I went along with those messages about rejoice in the Lord always. And now I'm just mad. I'm just flat out mad. And so Job was really getting down to the bottom. And he had all these good Christian friends, you know, Job, if you were innocent, you know, God wouldn't be against you, but you'd probably done something wrong and so on. And they were just, you know, they were just giving good scriptures. Have you ever given good scriptures to somebody? You know, very good scriptures, you know, and just depressing these people. You know, what's wrong, brother? You know, if you were going to church, you know, if you were reading your Bible every day, you've been writing your Bible every day, you know. And they'll find something you've done wrong. Well, see, that's it right there. And then, you know, you just kind of, you're already down, and they just kind of heap some more condemnation on you. It's good Christian counsel. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. In other words, I respect myself finally. You know, God, I don't want to just put up with this anymore. I want to know, what is it you've got against me? Why is all this happening to me? Why has this come to me? Why don't you give it to somebody? I've done well. Look at that brother over there. He hasn't done that well, and you never touch him. Now, I mean, I go to church, I read my Bible, I'm sweet, I'm nice, I'm honest, and so on and so forth in my business dealings. I don't think it's fair. Did you ever get to that point? You try to figure out, how come if I did it right? I mean, why should I be good then? I think I'll just be rotten and wretched. If this is the way you're going to treat me when I'm good, I might as well just go for it. Amen. So a lot of people are good for a reason. It kind of comes out in moments like this. I'm not going to be good anymore then. I wished I had never been good. Because it doesn't pay. And, oh, that's why you were good. Well, yes. I didn't know that myself, but now I realize that. That's right. I've been good because it pays. Is it good unto thee, he's asking God now, he's accusing God actually, is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress? You think it's a good thing that you're oppressing your people? Well, what are you doing this for? That thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands? I mean, after all, you made me and I'm trying to serve you and everything. You think that's a good thing, God? And shine upon the counsel of the wicked? You think you should let the wicked go and here's your good people trying so hard. And here it is that the bad people are doing well. What's the point of being good? Hast thou eyes of flesh? God, you know what it's like to be a person? This guy's griping. Don't you like it? Isn't this refreshing? I had a guy today come up to me and he said, he's a, you know, prosperous looking family, has a beautiful family. All together, you know, there's nothing wrong, and so on. Came to me and he said, Pastor, I want to ask you something. Why doesn't this thing work? He says, my family's in order. I come to church every week. We pray. We praise the Lord. You know, I work hard. And then he just broke. He just fell apart. Just right after church. And he just bawled for about 2-3 minutes. And he said, you know, I'm not going to make it. I'm 3 payments behind and so on and so forth. And I work so hard. I have 3 jobs, you know. And I don't get it. What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Praise God. Pulled out my Job on him. No. Well, brother, do you think you're innocent? You know. No, but he just fallen apart. Why did this guy fall apart? When this guy is so, you know, diligent. And in his own mind, he felt for the last 4 years, you know, he's been, you know, trying to do it right and trying to be honest in his business and help people and, you know, had gone out of his way, and he and his wife, I mean, they're the sweetest family and everything, and their kids are in order, and, you know, they sent them to, you know, they do all the right stuff. Now, here's life, you know, he's 3 payments behind on his house. And, you know, it's great, isn't it? This is exciting. This is real life. You know, the guy wanted to know, well, let's skip the sermon stuff now. Here I am afterward. What's wrong? What's going on? So even though he didn't say all these words, he just wept. He was saying all these words. I don't know why I've been good. I mean, I've seen my dad. You know, my dad was just, you know, he worked and saved his little money, and he works for Wycliffe now. And, you know, am I down to that or what? I mean, you know, what am I doing it for? What's the purpose of my life? I thought I was going to serve God. Have you ever thought, I'd like to give my life to God? And then looked around to see some people that had. Oh, so here's Job. Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest as a man sees? I mean, I don't think God up in heaven there where you are, where it's safe and neat, and then you look down here upon us. I don't think you see it from my point of view, Job was saying. I mean, I've lost all my kids, all my wealth. I got boils all over my body. I mean, things have gone from bad to worse, and Clinton's president. I mean, my God, what's going on? There's no hope. I don't know what to do. You know, and Job was just really going for it. Are thy days as the days of man? I mean, do you know anything about people? Yeah, you made us, but I don't think you know what it's like. Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin. I mean, you're always looking for my sin. Have you ever felt that way? God, pick on somebody else. You always find me at fault. It's always my sin. If something goes wrong, it's always my sin. When is it yours? Or somebody else's? Why does it have to be me? I'm tired of always having the sin. So, you know, Job was just a little bit honked off that God... Have you ever been that way? Has anybody here ever been that way? You know, not me again. It was me the last time, and the time before, and the time before. Do I have another sin? I mean, I know guys that haven't confessed 2 sins. I've confessed thousands. Now you're picking on me again. You know, so Job was a little bit mad. You know, God, you know, inquiring after some secret sin. I mean, who even knew what it was? It'd be one thing if he knew I had an alcohol problem or a drug problem, or I didn't like my mother or something. But as far as I know, I don't even know what the thing is. And here you are inquiring after me, and you send all these religious folks around me trying to say, you see, you know, well, just tell me plainly, what have I done wrong? Come on, stand up like a man and talk, God. Yeah. So, you know, this is getting real. Now, you might think God would hate a guy for doing this. God liked the joke. He kind of liked it. You know, he said, well, this guy's getting real for once. The guy's coming right at me. Huh? Well, that's what makes you real. You'll never be real until you get into a crisis. And that's what I want to deal with tonight. I want to tell you something. You haven't seen anything yet. If you think you've seen crises or heard about them in the past, you haven't seen anything yet. History has yet to reveal crises that have been stored up for these last days. We could say the worst is yet to come. Now, I want to know, what are you going to be like when things go bad? You know, if right now you're troubled over some relationship or over health or over your parents, the way they abuse you, or dysfunctionality of your family, or, you know, all the various things, what are you going to do when things get rough? And if you want an excuse for complaining and griping, you'll have plenty. Because God is not going to listen. He's going to close a deaf ear. Get us out of this! You know, man, I mean, they're jailing the ministers, and they're, you know, they're going after everybody and so on. So, you know, where's Christian church, and, you know, the Roman Catholic Church going to fall apart, and, you know, there'll be a betrayal this spring and so on, and the Jews are going to make covenants, and it's going to be double crossing and all that stuff. You know, and people are going to cry out to God, the temple, the temple, the temple of the Lord, the church, the church, the church. Evangelical Christianity, evangelical Christianity. We were the good people. And you know, if you want to gripe, you'll have an opportunity. So you might as well get it out now. If you have a breaking point, reach it. Better reach it now. If there's anything God could ever do, He probably will. You know, if there's anything that ever happens to anybody, it could happen to you. So you better face it now. If life has to be perfect for you, if God ain't enough, then you're not going to make it. Because that's what it's all about. That's what the storm is for. If you can't do it in little things, you're not going to do it in big things. So you have to learn now, no matter what happens, I'm going to give praise to God. My mouth is going to be full of praise, because if there is anything that God could not do or do, He probably will not do or do. Because there's a great storm. And he told ahead of time. He even said it. He said, look, I told you in the world you have trouble. I never said the world wasn't going to be full of trouble. I told you from the beginning. I just said, just rejoice. Whenever trouble comes, don't worry about it. Just rejoice. I told you that. Now, still, Christians day after day, year after year, come and, you know, fall apart because something's not going right. Had two more counselings after that couple. Then we had two more right after that. People that were in, you know, difficulty and had, you know, relational problems and so on. Another man with his family falling apart, and another person, you know, that had just left her husband and so on. So you got all these problems that weigh us down. How many know life is not easy? Has, you know, a little bit of difficulty to us. It's just that Job thought, man, but this is beyond measure. I mean, this is too much. Systematically, I mean, I didn't have a tragedy in just one area of my life, in every area of my life. Thou knowest, verse 7, that I am not wicked. I love it. Did you ever justify yourself to God? God, you know I haven't done anything wrong. You know it. I don't care what everybody says. I'm innocent. It feels good to say that. I know I haven't done anything wrong. The problem with most of us is we know we have, so we don't say that. But here Job had cleansed himself. Man, he had done everything right. And we would love to be in his posture, in his position, to be able to accuse God. Say, God, you know you've got nothing on me. Speak up if you've got it. All right, see there. Now, you have nothing on me, and you're just letting the devil get all over me, and it isn't fair. It's discouraging. I don't know if you know how discouraging it is. He's trying to help God to see the point. Because God's a little bit dull sometimes. You ever notice how God is dull of hearing? He calls us dull of hearing, but God's a little dull of hearing. We cry out sometimes, help! This marriage is too much! This disease, this sickness, this dysfunctionality, it's too much. My background, you know, I can't get a job, I can't pay my bills, that's too much. I've tried hard, I've sent my resume everywhere, I've done this, I've done that. I'm getting mad. It's been 3 weeks now. Wow, there, you've got it. There. So, you know, after a certain point we know it's beyond teaching time. You know, this has gone too far. What's your breaking point? God, if it goes one more week, I'm going to get mad. You think that impresses God, you know. Oh, God, just sitting up there eating grapes. You know, he's having fun. He's just kind of relaxing. You don't seem to understand. It's no fun down here. I mean, I know my theology says it's fun, but I'm going to be honest with you. Emotionally, I'm mad. You know, so Job is just kind of getting this stuff all out. It's good. This always cleanses the soul to get it like this. There is none that can deliver out of thine hand, verse 7. You knowest that I'm not wicked, and there's none that can deliver out of thy hand. I mean, you're just getting me for no reason. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. You made me, now you're killing me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? I mean, when you get depressed, you begin to think like Job's talking here. You begin to think, you know, why was I made? Why was I created in the first place? Hast thou not poured me out like milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hidden thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin,
Then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. Okay, you know, it'd be different. If I sinned, all right, then I deserve it because I did wrong. If I be wicked, woe unto me. But if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up mine head? I'm full of confusion. I don't get it. If I had sinned, you know, you're not supposed to sin. Then if you sin, okay, then consequences come on you. But I didn't sin. Why is this happening to me? How come I didn't do anything wrong? And life still stinks. I don't see that. Why don't you make a way for me? Why don't you encourage your people a little bit? So, Job had God. How many know that Job had God? You know, logically, God was, you know, in a corner. Defend thyself, you know. And Job had his finger right in his face. God, you're not just, holy, fair, righteous, and all that. You ever accuse God of that? If you haven't, you don't know what life is all about. It's fun to be able to be like Job here. He's finally getting it out. I'm honked off at you. I don't like the mother you gave me. I don't like the father you gave me. I don't like, you know, my brothers, my sisters, my pastors, the church. I don't like the world I'm in, you know. I don't like the job, but, you know, just you got something to complain about. How many know there are things you could complain about? If you want to look around, there's a certain thing you could say, you know, well, this wasn't perfect. I got married to this good woman, but she's not. I got married to this good man, but he ain't. I just want to say it for once. I have had to keep it down because I was a Christian. I didn't want to say it. But, you know, I'm going to say it right now. I don't like the woman you gave me. I don't like the man you gave me. I'll just say it. And God just kind of eating his grapes. He doesn't care. Kind of like rejoicing the Lord always, you know. And God's just relaxed up there. He's not really listening. He can hear everything we're saying, but he's not listening. It's kind of like, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. You know, but down here, it ain't okay. So people get mad is, why aren't you like you're supposed to be? Why aren't you the God you ought to be? The God I want you to be. So we have a picture of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. All our unhappiness is due to illusions. All our unhappiness, all divorces, hear me, are due to illusions. We marry an illusion. And then we divorce because we didn't get our illusion. They don't like it. I married you because. And now you're not like that. That's just an illusion. It wasn't reality. Check with God. You see, there's nothing wrong with being discouraged from your illusion. It was an illusion. The man you married wasn't great. It was just a person. The woman you married wasn't neat. It was nasty and just a regular old nasty person. Selfish and, you know, self-seeking and so on. But it's okay. God knows how to, you know, use those kind of people. He better. He knows how. You see, he always gives you the right mate.
Amen.
You know, we just don't like it. Because we like to keep our illusions. Hello? Hello? It's kind of fun to teach. I'm just teaching. It's fun. But you see, Job was finally getting at God. Now one thing, Job still had his wife, praise God. Hadn't lost her. She's a neat woman. Curse God and die. I like her. She's good. No religion to this woman. You know, she's short on religion. It's get this over with. I hate it. Took all my kids and all. I don't want to hear about God blessed be and all that. I don't want to hear that junk. I like that. That's a real woman. That's a real woman. How many know you get the woman you deserve, you need? See? Because she's not going to play any games. Job was playing this nice game, blessed be the da 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 da, you know, saying all this nice stuff, and she just cut right through it. Said, ah, I don't believe that. You always get a wife that won't play games. And she just cut right through it. Well, that's junk, Job. Let's just curse God and die. Let's get this thing over with. Have you ever noticed that about God? You see? He doesn't like all that religious stuff. So God wants to get through illusions. Because if you're going to be happy in this world, you have to have no illusions. As a matter of fact, God commands you never to be deceived. That means it's a sin to be deceived. It isn't just, well, I was deceived. No. You are evil to be deceived. You must not be deceived. You cannot be deceived. You see, God has made a way so that you will never be deceived. So if you're deceived, you chose to be deceived. Are you hearing me? You're not a victim. Well, I couldn't help it. I was deceived. They didn't tell me. No one told me. No, you're guilty. God says, be not deceived. So it's wrong. So make up your mind right now, I'll never be deceived. You know, what we'd like to do is, we'd like to excuse ourselves. Well, no one told me. My father never told me. I remember when I grew up, my dad never told me anything about anything. He never helped me to understand what life was made like or anything. You know, just, spanked me every once in a while, spoke to me a few times, and that was about it. I hardly ever remember talking to my dad. He didn't have a lot of words to say. Hello. But you know, he didn't tell me how the world was made and who were the bad guys and who were the good guys and all this kind of stuff. Just kind of had a few rules and spanked me when I didn't do them. It wasn't much to the relationship. I never did like that guy. No. He was my third father. You know, and obviously trying to stop me from being some wild person. And so, I resented him. Till later. You see, God doesn't owe you anything. You don't have any rights. That's not fair. Kind of a teenager view on life. I'm fair. It's not fair. You ever see how teenagers are? Not right. So they're big on fairness. They imagine that fair works. They imagine there's such a thing in the world as fair. Big disillusionment. When you get into life, you discover there's no justice. There's no fairness. Nothing is as it's written down in your little history book. Nothing. It's all lies. Hard for us to believe. We don't like that. We would rather be told that government is what it says it is, and bankers are what bankers do, and mechanics do what mechanics do, and so on. We'd like to think that there are at least the majority are fair. There's a few scoundrels, yes, but not the majority. The majority of people in the world are fair and honest and clean-shaven and so on. That's an illusion. So teenagers get mad. Well, I don't like it. I'm going to rebel. Not right. And that's what makes the world go wrong. We imagine that we're going to fix things up. What an illusion to imagine. Well, I'm going to clean this business up. Well, I'm going to be the first one that's honest here. And have you ever noticed that when you're honest and clean and loving, nobody appreciates you? You know, you think, well, it's, you know, boy, this is a crooked place. Well, I'm going to be I'll be the first honest accountant they've ever had. I'm going to be an honest employee. And people will respect me and thank God for me. Nobody. So what are you doing? An idiot or something? I mean, they don't even respect me. They don't even want it. Nobody appreciates good people. That's what this guy was saying today who cried. He was basically saying, we have given the last 4 years of our lives to about 18 couples, 18 different people. And we've given so much. And it's like, God, nothing's coming through. Illusion. This man lives in illusion. He imagined being good should be rewarded. You ever been good? You ever been good to your parents, or good to your friend? You know, kind of be nice to somebody and then they take advantage of you. What? Whoa. Wait a minute, I didn't have to be nice. I chose to be nice. I was nice to be nice. I don't understand it. Have you learned that in life? That you get evil for good? Have you seen that? I mean, it's a miracle if anybody ever shows you any mercy or any love or anything. It's just a miracle. Wow, where'd that come from? That's the exception. That's not the rule. We've come to learn to expect, sort of secretly, because in our minds we don't accept it still, but in our lives, in our emotions, we've come to learn to accept very little. You see, we're cynical at base. We're cynics. We're sarcastic. We protect ourselves with sarcasm, with irony. with various forms of humor. There are gradations of humor. They all fall short. They all come a little bit short of faith. Because we've lost our faith. We've lost our faith in people. We've lost our faith in God. We don't like to say it. That's why we become angry, frustrated, sarcastic, bitter. That's why sometimes rage boils up for no reason. The dog, you know, just get out of the way, you know. You know, the little dog, what did I do, you know? Dogs are nice. So Job was having a problem here. That's why this is fun. It's fun to read this Job story. Put ourselves to the test. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me, verse 14, from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. But if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up mine head? I'm full of confusion. Therefore, don't you see my affliction? For it increaseth. Thou huntest me as the fierce lion. And again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me. You're sending me all these Christian friends. And increaseth thine indignation upon me. Changes in war are against me. I don't get it, God. Why do I have to go through punishment? Why do I have to go through difficulties? Why can't life be nicer? If I were God, I would change things. I wish you'd let me be God for a day or two. You know, I don't like the way you do it. You don't have any... Where can I turn? Why don't I have hundreds of friends? Why are there so few? As a matter of fact, where are any right now? Where are your people? How come you don't have any good ministers out there? How come you don't have lots of friends? Why is it so thin? You ever notice that? There just aren't that many. They're just few and far between. And we just kind of marvel at that. So he was getting ticked off at God. He didn't think God was fair. Wherefore, verse 18, then, hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Why was I ever born? I mean, what joke are you playing here? What's the point of my life? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and no eye had seen me. I wish I were aborted, he's saying. I wish I'd never come to birth. Now here's a guy that said, weeks before, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, praise God. You know, God has mysterious ways. And things like this happen, but blessed be the name. You know, he was so religious. He was so pious. He was so phony. Now, this guy's getting real. I wish I was never born. I wish I'd never seen the light of day. What purpose did you have to do this, to punish me? To give me kids and then to kill them all? To give me houses and lands and to be the richest guy, and then to strip me? You think that's a joke or something, God? What's the point of my life? I taught Sunday school every week. I witnessed. Man, how many people did I bring to the Lord? I spent oodles of my money to do mission work. And look what you've done to me. You think that's right, God? Hello. Are you following me? I mean, Job had a legitimate gripe. What's the point? Here's another guy across the road here. He did nothing for you, spit on you. You know, the guy's doing fine. I don't get it. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to happen to the body of Christ. That's why I'm preaching this message. It's going to happen. And you're going to have to be encouraging to those that are discouraged. And it's not going to be easy. Because they're going to stand there, and they were once Sunday school teachers, they were once pastors, they were once Christian leaders, and they're completely dumbfounded. Wow. How come God never comes through? And they wrote a book on it, how God comes through and all, you know. Now suddenly they're the ones with their, you know, they can't, this is Job. This is one of God's good, and this was the greatest guy on the face of the earth in those days. He was God's number one man. He's falling apart. How can that happen? You gotta learn to rejoice every day. I'll tell you what was wrong with Job. Job had an illusion. Job had a fear. He feared something. He feared the very thing that came upon him. He feared that what if I serve God, do everything right, and then, you know, God just suddenly lets the devil get me for no reason, at all. Job had that fear in the back of his mind. Even as he was sacrificing every week and going to his kids and doing all the religious stuff, he had this fear. What if? What if? Just what if in this world you don't have any guarantees from God? What if you do everything right and God doesn't come through? Though you know he's going to theologically, but practically, I don't have any handle on the guy. You know, here I am sacrificing, I'm going out of my way, I'm double tithing, I'm doing everything I can to let him know what a good Christian I am. What if the guy, you know, just doesn't even notice me? He's like that. You don't know when he gets you. He just kind of closes his eye one day or something. Boom, just like that. The devil will be on me. You don't ever know when the bomb's going to drop out. Look at the Texans who have made millions, you know, the last few years. And then all of a sudden they lost it all. That's kind of a shock, oh. That's kind of a shock, you know, for a lot of people. Wow, you know, maybe I didn't give enough to God or something. You know, I wonder why the real estate thing just fell apart. Did we do something wrong? I didn't even put the bullhorns on the front of my Cadillac, you know. I wasn't that extravagant, you know. I wasn't showing off that big, you know. And, you know, why are the New York bankers against me? Why is there a conspiracy to destroy all these Texas millionaires and billionaires? Have you noticed? Surely it's not just economic troubles. We're having a little fun. You see? This is jump out the window time. But God is saying, oh, relax. It's okay. You don't have to give up your faith. Or run back to your faith. Just relax. You did fine. Just didn't know what time it was. You had some illusions. Texans had a lot of illusions.
Amen.
Now, and if a guy just wore it, you know, as a joke and go, well, you know, we got money, let's throw it around and have a good time. If he just wore it as a joke, it was no big deal. Well, party's up, go on and do something else. But a lot of people took it seriously as, wow, you know, what's happening here? Why are the New York banks still in business? Why are they winning? Why are we losing? You know, it could be dramatic overnight. Boom, all of a sudden your bank was solvent, the next day it's not. And there was nothing wrong with your accounts. It wasn't like they said, oh, you had a lot of bad accounts. You had a lot of inside deals that went sour and dry. No, there were banks with everything perfect. Nothing wrong. All the loans were up to date. Everything was clean as a whistle. Wait a minute, there's something going on. Ever notice that about life? Life doesn't make sense. Life doesn't add up. Does life have to add up for you to be happy? Do things have to make sense? Does God have to explain himself? Job had his finger in God's face. Look, you owe me an explanation. God's sitting there, you know. Whoa, this guy is mad. He's one of my best guys, too. I better say something to him. You know. Hey, Job. You know, it's kind of like during the campaign when the vice presidents met, you know. That was funny. Did you see that? When Gore and, what was that other guy's name?
Quayle.
You know, Quayle leaned over and he said to Gore, he said, hey Gore, cool it. Cool down. Take it easy. I loved it. It was so cool because everybody knew that Quayle was just going to not perform too well. And Gore was so, you know, well in hand. And so he reached over, hey, calm down, just cool it. They would be so excited. It was beautiful. It was a little gesture. It was funny. Kind of like God said that to Job. Job, cool it. Snow. You owe me this. Let's hear some more that Job has to say. Wherefore, then, verse 18, hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost. I wish I'd just died right there. No eye had ever seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb right directly to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then. Let me alone. I mean, haven't you done enough that I may take a little comfort? Can't I have even a little comfort? Before I go whence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. The land of darkness is darkness itself and the shadow of death, without any order, and where light is as darkness. So Job is angry. He's mad. He's confused. Have you ever been confused? Ever not been able to figure out how things work? Because people come to me all the time, and I realize they're confused. You know, it's like, well, why aren't you rejoicing? Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I can't. Listen to my story, and you'll see why. And you listen, and you go, I see why. Oh, but there's nothing I can do about it. So let's just praise the Lord. No. Yes. You've got to realize it's your illusions that are troubling you. It's not reality. God never said reality made sense. He never said that you'd have a wonderful family or that your marriage would look perfect. He never said that, did he? Did he ever say that, you know, you'd have a job the minute you cried out? Did he ever say that? All he said was everything would be fine. But he didn't explain. I thought he meant that when I called on him, unlike the wicked, I thought what he meant that when I called on him, he would answer. And that's what he said. But I thought what he meant by that was he'd do what I said. I thought he'd come through. I had no idea he would, you know, when troublous times come and I'll cry out to God and he doesn't come through. It's like he's saying, just trust me, Jim. Just praise me before I do anything. Well, then if I praise you, will you do it? I mean, do I have to pay you off with like an hour and a half praise and then you'll come through? No, just praise me for who I am. Hey, no way, no way. No way, no. I'm not going to do it, God. Come on now, that's not fair. What if I don't praise you? Won't I still go to heaven anyway? I said, why praise you? You're not going to give me something for it. Jim, I'm worth it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to do it for free. I'm not going to do it for just no reason. You see, we have illusions. We expect stuff. Because God makes big promises. God says to us, he said, I'm always with you. I always bless you. Everything's always going your way. Well, I want him to come through then on that. All right, let me see it. So, now, Jim, it's faith. None of this faith stuff. Let's have a little bit of down payment on that. I don't want this faith stuff. Now, God actually likes us to talk that way. Because we're very real then, aren't we? I mean, that is definitely being real. Is God, I'm tired of theology that's just words. I want the same, when Daniel was in the lions, then you closed the mouth. I want that. When so-and-so was about to be burned up, you spared him. I want that. When Jesus was on the cross, no, I don't want that one. Let me think of some other stories that are better. I don't want that one. I'll think of the good stories. You see, we don't trust God. That's one of our illusions, people. We don't trust God. We don't trust Him. Could God do evil? Could God do darkness? Is it possible for God to forget you? Not to hear you? Not to know where you are? Not to bless you? Just because I don't see it, does that mean it isn't true? Am I that smart? Really, people, when you're in difficulty, you've got to praise the Lord. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, but you've got to do it. You've got to turn your back on your problem. Just say, everything's fine. No, I don't want to say that. I won't say that. I don't want to. God says, now, come on, Jim. Am I not good? Yes, 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 you're good. But I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to be happy. I refuse to be happy till you come through. At least a little bit. God said, if I came through a little bit, wouldn't you want a little bit more? Well, yeah, but you're not going to win that one. No, He wants you to rejoice always. Not when you see it, when you feel like it, when you want to. Always. He just says, I gave you my word. It's enough. My word is enough.
And I'll decide when I come through and so on, and it'll be just right. It'll be right time. But I want to know, when are you coming through? If I serve you, I would like you to prove up at the time I want you to prove up. I don't like the idea that you are so sovereign and so big and so great that you don't come through when I need you to come through and want you to come through. I want to decide that.
This is no Jim.
Just trust me. You don't trust me yet, do you?
Well, yes.
No, no. All right, I don't. That's all he wants. Just get rid of the illusion. We don't trust God. Is God good or is not God good? Is God good or is he not? Is he good?
Yeah.
Yes, we all say he is. But why then do we gripe and complain and moan and, you know, secretly accuse him when things don't go right? The woman thou gavest me. The man thou gavest me. This man who's standing before me right now. Sometimes he's all right, but right now look at him. That's perfect. It's perfect. You're wrong. You're just wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You don't know anything. That one before you is sacred, special, precious. You're wrong. That's your beloved. It'll kill you to say so. But you should die. Relax. Could God make a mistake? I don't like living by faith. I want to see it. If I could see it, then I would say it. No, no. It's the other way. Before the harvest comes, you yell as though you already had the harvest. Ah, golly, I don't want to. Jim, trust me. Do you trust me? Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Tell me. Say so. Come on, let's dance, Jim. I don't want to right now. I don't want to dance. God just loves to dance. Come on, Jim. Let's dance. Come on. No. Come on. I'm good. I'm great and glorious. This is the day. This is the time. This is the hour. I'll do it later. No, no. So he's always drawing us. He's always saying, I'm wonderful. Am I not beauteous? Am I not everything you seek? And am I not fulfilling to you? Well, you were last week. That was before I saw this. That was before this happened. You see, this was my breaking point. This was the line. You crossed it. And to get back, you've got to come through. And God says, huh? Jim, you're still going by sight. Job said, I heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I've seen thee with the seeing of the eye. You know how you're going to see God? You're not going to see God by arguing with him. You're not going to see God by getting all your questions answered. You're going to see God when you've done all you're going to do. You might as well get it out. If you're mad, get it out. Go for it. When you've done all of that, God's going to look down and say, I just love you. You're just so special to me. And it's going to break you. He'll never say that to you until you reveal all the ugliness without guilt, full justified. And when you do that, that's when God's going to come through and say, you know, I've always loved you. And it's going to break you. As long as you're nice, as long as you're sweet, as long as you're religious, as long as you're pious, you'll never hear God say, I love you. Oh, you'll hear it, but it won't mean anything. It only has meaning when you're nasty and undeserving and worthless and a scoundrel and totally wrong. That's when he says to you, oh, I just love you. You're precious to me. You see, if you could see that God, then when people do us in, we could be like that. Because we are intolerant, impatient. We are vindictive. We just don't like people the way they are. We want them fixed up.
But God likes to leave people kind of shagged, you know. He doesn't like to have them fixed up. Do you love people the way they are? The world is never going to be fixed up. Ever. Ever. Until Jesus comes back. So you might as well get used to this world. And it's going to get darker and darker and darker. But, you know, that's the time for us to get brighter. The darker it gets, the brighter we get. If you have the joy of the Lord. If you've known how to spew out at God so that when you judge the world, you remember, that's me. That world out there that I am now judging, that's me. I'm no better than, no different than. I can't judge them because I'm just like them. That's me. That's just me. I was just like that a minute ago. I was just like that an hour ago. So every day we reveal again and 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 again how nasty we are, how wicked we are, and that's our salvation. How little faith we have, how lack of trust. God is saying to us, I love you. I love you. I've blessed you. It's all over. Do you believe? Trust me. And so as we praise the Lord every day, not because we want to, not because we feel like it, not because we understand, but just because God said to do it, that'll kill you. And as we say to people, I love you, I forgive you, no matter what you do, I want you to know it's all my fault if there's anything wrong between us. I take all the blame. All the blame. Do you take all the blame in your relationships? No. We always want to accuse the other person. Well, I did it, but I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't done that. You set me off. I was going to do it right, but you set me off. No, it's all your fault. No, yes. It's always your fault. It's wonderful. What a wonderful way to live, where you're always at fault. If there's going to be a fault, you take it. That's what God does. God never, ever, ever blames you. He always takes the fault himself. Because I'll pay for it. I'll clean it up. Don't worry. I'll clean it. Those are my kids. I love them. Oh, I'll pay for it. Jesus, go down there. You pay for that. So I'd gladly do it. Those people in trouble, I'll do it. I'll pay. A good father. A good son. Do you always take the blame? Then you're like God. Say to my wife, you know, honey, you didn't do anything wrong. I did it. I did everything wrong. You're fine. You don't have to do anything. Don't do anything. Doesn't matter. I give her lots of laws, but I never make her keep them. I give her lots of laws. Hey, clean this room up. She doesn't. There's no consequence. I just walk to the next room. I want you up at 6. And I want you to have the kids' breakfast. Blah, 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 blah. I've said that from the beginning of marriage. Never did it. I make lots of laws. I just let her know what I want. And she never does it. You know, or seldom. Sometimes she does. Sometimes she surprises me. Well, praise God. You know, but it doesn't matter. It's got nothing to do with my love. It has nothing to do with that. If I want to clean it up, I'll clean it up. If it means that much to me, I'll find a way. Not that big a deal. There's no law so important that it's more important than her. What counts? I want her to be at ease. Spoil her. Be extravagant. Let her know there's nothing she could ever do wrong. I'll tell her that. Nothing you could ever do wrong. Nothing. I underline that. That's big. It's a big statement. But it makes her feel good. It makes her feel like there's nothing she could ever do wrong. Then she has the freedom to do wrong. She can do right or do wrong. It doesn't make a difference. Sometimes she'll be so inconsistent that she'll say, I love you and I hate you within minutes. It's the same. It's equal. The love was just the gift of God. The hate was just her flesh. It doesn't make any difference. I don't count any of it. I give praise to God for the love and I rejoice in the Lord for the hatred. It's nothing. You see? Don't take people seriously. Don't take this life seriously. Don't you dare go by what you see. Have you not died to this world? Have you not been transformed and transfigured and transplanted into another kingdom? Are you not now seated with Christ in heavenly places? If this is just theology, it's not going to work for you. This better be reality for you. I'm not down here. If you're not done with this world, you are in an illusion. Because this world is passing away. This world doesn't exist. I don't have to win here because I've already won. I'm already the Son of the living God. The man who made heaven and earth is my Father. His Son is my big brother. It's over. I've found my beloved. I'm finished. I don't have to win. I don't care if anybody likes me. I don't care if anybody hates me. It doesn't make any difference. Do what you want. I'm the favored. I'm the son. I'm the brother. I'm okay. My guy's going to win. You can do me in all you want to. I've already won. I got all the money. I got all the favor. I got everything. It's great to be rich. It's great to be powerful. It's great to be wise. You know, I don't need anything. I have everything. I don't see it, but I just believe it. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's not a joke. It's not a trick. It's not some kind of psych thing, some kind of Christian science or, you know, New Age thinking or whatever. It's the truth. It'll set you free. You know what? It works. The amazing thing, it's so practical. It works. Actually helps marriages. It's great with kids. It's good with churches. It's good in business. Works everywhere. Dead to this world. I tell you, nothing would hurt me, nothing. Or surprise me, nothing. Just read the book. Everything has been done before. The Antichrist won't do any more than what's been done. There's nothing new. There's no new forms of torture or whatever. It's just doing it electronically. It doesn't add anything. Now there's fire comes down from heaven. Nothing. Don't be surprised or shocked when the Roman Catholic Church falls apart. Rom aeternae, and yet it'll fall apart. Perhaps very soon. In fact, I'll say very soon. Now, well, what are you going to do when that happens? Something that we've known all those years, great institution, that has been completely destroyed from the inside, betrayed, fallen apart. Nothing. We don't need anything. We don't need to worry about stuff like that. You see, we want the world to be neat and make sense. Nothing needs to make sense. Just walk on water. Walk on water. It's fun. It's fun to go to work every day and not know, you know, anything. Don't know if the Constitution's still there or whether the trilaterals or, you know, how the thing is put together. Who cares? There are people out now trying to figure out how the Antichrist is doing it and, you know, where he's going to plug in his computer. Who cares? But let him go. You remember Joseph when he was on the earth? He helped the guy. You remember the Pharaoh? He was one of the beasts. So Joseph said, hey, I see you're doing it wrong. You want to really get people? What you should do is, and he gave him a little idea. You remember Daniel helped Nebuchadnezzar? You remember the people of God always have to help the beast out because he's so dumb he doesn't know how to track us and to trap us. So we have to give him some ideas. Help the guy. Poor fellow. Hello. That's when you're confident. That's confidence, isn't it? When you're helping your enemy. Say, would you want me to pour water on my stones? And hey, could I help you guys? You're crying out to Baal and he doesn't seem to be answering. Could I help you? Hey, might be on vacation or something. I mean, I could help call out. You need another guy. You've only got 450 guys. I could help you. Your team seems to be in trouble. You know, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Just give the other guy some advantage. Have you noticed God never won a war that he had the advantage? Always when he had too many, he would always say, will you send all those guys home? And send those people away too. It's too many for my glory. I just can't do it this way. Give me some of the losers. Have you found any losers? I like some of those. If I could only get some cast-offs, some rejects, then I'd get glory. Isn't there hope for us? Just average, everyday nobodies. That's what God likes. From any walk of life, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are. God just says, I love you. God's out to win. You know what? God wins. In the end, God will win. Won't you be proud on that day when the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. And you'll think, wow, I could have given in to what I saw, but I had faith. I knew that God would keep His word. I knew He was trustworthy. It's amazing that I did, but I did. I remained faithful. To do that, you've got to be able to gripe and complain and put your finger in God's face and survive. Because that's when He says to you, it's okay, Job. It's all right. When Job finally got it all out, God just touched him. And he was set free. It's amazing when you get to the bottom of everything, there's nothing there. Put his hand over his mouth. It's horrifying. Amazed. Who am I? You know, sometimes you're yelling at God and you don't realize what you're doing, then all of a sudden you realize. You go, wow. What am I? I'm alive. I can't believe it. You know, it's exciting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we may not speak out loud, but somehow inside in our guts we're mad, impatient, angry, and it's at God. But God's just saying, those are my kids, aren't they lovely? Oh, I love them. Angels, come here, come here. Look, there they are. They're looking down on this little meeting here. Oh, look at the splendor. Boy, the angels are, whoa, that's beautiful, God. That's just as bright as you are. That's me. He said, angels, that's me. I'm there. I'm in that little room. The glory of God shall fill the earth. Do you see the glory? Do you see it in Bennett? How many can see it? Can you see it in Bennett? Amen. It's there. You got to have faith. Did you see it with a natural eye? No, you missed it with the natural eye. You see it with the eyes of faith. You see it here? You see it in Chad? How many can see the glory in Chad? Amen. You know what? It can fit on anybody. God's ready to glorify Himself in anybody that will, whosoever will. Anyone, 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 anywhere. I tell you, God isn't done yet. The finest hour is yet to come. The darkest hour is going to be the finest hour. So don't resist it. Don't resent it. When things fall apart and people come like the guy did today and say, you know, what have I done for the last 4 years? It was his illusion. I can't stand this woman. It's your illusion. I don't want to be married to him. It's your illusion. Relax. You're just wrong. Everything's fine. Aren't you happy right where you are? Aren't you totally, incredibly, wonderfully happy? Beyond, you can hardly contain it. You know, it's so exciting. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's joy unspeakable. You can't say it. It's so incredible. I don't know what I'll just say. It's woo! You know? So unspeakable and full of glory. You have that? Do you have that? Is that inside of you? Just bursting, you know, like a volcano just wanting to come up. Praise God. You're like a raving lunatic, you know, an idiot. Just make an idiot out of yourself. You know, have you got that kind of love for God? You know, you make it just a fool out of yourself. We all hate that. We all have dreams like that where we're kind of naked. You know, we just make a fool out of ourselves. Ooh, whoa. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. You're loved. You're God's beloved. He hides you. He'll protect you. He'll shield you. He'll cover you. You can't do wrong. You cannot do wrong. You cannot. You cannot. You can do wrong, but you can't be wrong. You can't be wrong. You're God's. How many are happy? No matter what. I'm preaching this because I believe, as I see people go through struggles and problems and so on, they're taking it much too seriously. Just turn your back on that and thank God. You say, what good will that do? We're not doing it so it'll do good. It's because it's right. It'll set you free. You may not get a job because you do it, but I'll tell you this, you'll come to know the Lord. And as you learn to be content, God will provide. And you'll be, oh, whoa. Why was I secretly complaining? You can work all you want, you'll get nowhere. It's going to be harder and harder for people to work.
Night cometh when no man can work. That could be now. You might find it difficult to get a job if you don't have one. Could be a day like that. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to just take mercy or something.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I have my reputation. I would like, as a Christian, I want to be something. Oh, why?
What's the worst going to happen?
Well, I'd starve.
Probably not.
Well, then I'd be ashamed.
Probably.
So what?
So what? If your worst fears came upon you, could you exist? Could you still flourish? Could you still rejoice? If all your fears came upon you, could you flourish? If all your fears came upon you, the answer is no. So I tell you the answer. But will all your fears come upon you? No. Because God said, I'll never tempt you beyond your strength. So you don't have to worry about that. But some of your fears could come upon you. But they won't be beyond your strength. So you're right. All your fears will never come upon you. Ever. Fear all you want to, they won't come upon you. Put your faith in God. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's the way to live. You could live without fear. If you could live without fear, you could love. If you have fear, you can't love. If you have fear, you can't love. If you're afraid, if you think you could be cheated, say, I'll never be cheated.
I'll never be cheated.
I can't be cheated.
I can't be.
I've already got everything.
I've already got everything.
Got the Lord. The Lord's within you. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Now, Christianity for me is very practical. It's something very real. It's not theory. It's not ideas, concepts. It's something you live every day. How could you praise the Lord unless you thought he was wonderful? Why would you praise the Lord unless you knew that he's the greatest, the best? I mean, not just that he does some good, he does all good. It couldn't be better. My life couldn't be happier. Just make it up. Make it up. Just say it. My life couldn't be happier. Say it.
My life couldn't be happier.
My life, you know. That's great. You see, you're putting God to the test. How wonderful is God? Imagine God at the end of the trip and he asks you, well, how'd you like the trip? It was okay. Oh, come on. A trip with God? Wasn't God with you? Didn't he say, I'd never leave you or forsake you? Wasn't he with you? Yes, but I didn't see him doing too much. Whoa, what do you mean? You were looking? Well, yeah. Oh, did you have faith? No, not exactly. I kept waiting for him to come through. Well, it's not going to happen. If you think so lowly of God, as you believe, so it shall be. Listen to me, this is scripture. As you believe, so it shall be. Your belief is going to determine your entire life. It's not what you see that's life. It's what you believe that's life. That's scary. Science can't help you here. Tradition can't help you. Religion can't help you. It's what you believe. I believe what God said. God said, Jim, everything's fine. Forget all the other fancy theology things. I don't care about all that. I don't care about his second coming and all that. All I want to know is one thing. Is this God good or not? I want to know if he likes me. I'm down to that. It's really basic. Are you on my side? If God be for you, who can be against you? Answer, nobody. Nobody can be against me. I'm invincible. The invisible God has surrounded the place. Can you see him? All the armies of the world may be against you, but the invisible God has a bigger army around him. And he's holding him at bay. You know, the enemy is seeking to devour me like a roaring lion. The devil's trying to devour me, but the Lord is holding him back. And then if he gets too close, he just knocks his teeth out. And they roar. You know, he just roars at me. And I look into his mouth. Whoa. This guy doesn't have any teeth. Hi, kitty. You know, I'm not afraid now. Oh, I didn't even know that until I got close to him, you see. Well, he's going to get me. The IRS is going to audit me.
You're going to throw me in jail for being a TV evangelist or something. Praise God. Hey, isn't it fun? Isn't this a great world? Isn't this the greatest life of all? Or God's a liar? If God be true, let every man be a liar. God's true. We're all liars. God's true. God's true. Let God be true. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are your beloved children. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that your word is truth. Your word is light. Your word exposes the darkness and the lies. Sets us free. Your word is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing, cutting so sharply, so keenly between soul and spirit. And they which worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship you not according to our emotions, not according to our thoughts, not according to our desires, not according to our souls. We don't worship you in the soul. We worship you according to the Spirit, according to the Word of God, according to the Word that's within us. We sing praises unto your holy name. We give you glory and honor and thanksgiving. Like Job, we say, now we have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but we have seen thee with the seeing of the eye. Meaning, Lord, that we know, that we know, that we know that you're wondrous. You've shown us in our experience what we believed in the Bible, what we heard about, we now have experienced ourselves. You are to be trusted. You are a great and wondrous God. You have not given us rules and laws that we couldn't possibly live by, but you have given us your holy word, sacred, precious. Your presence goes with us. In your presence there is fullness of joy, joy unspeakable, wondrous joy. We're happy. We're always happy. Always, 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 always. Even when everything goes against us and the bottom falls out, underneath are the everlasting arms. We turn our back on our problem. We turn our face toward you. You never turn your back to us. You're always in front. You're always before us. You're always with us. You're always smiling. Your thoughts toward us are always thoughts of peace. Your arm is always outstretched on our behalf. Your holiness is holy for us. Your mercy is mercifully toward us. Your power enables and strengthens us. Your wisdom makes us wise. Everything you are, everything you have, is for us, to bless us, to help us, to strengthen us, to glorify your name. We are your glory. We are your inheritance. We are your, we're everything to you. You have chosen never to be alone. You have made us to be your companions forever and ever and ever. There is no God. There's only God in us. There is no God out there in and of himself. Your heart is knit to us, and you cannot be God without us. You have now made us one with yourself. You have married us. You have bought us. You have united us. We in you and you in us. One. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like us. We once were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see it. We're no longer blind to you. We're blind to this world. We see it, but we don't see it. We see your hand in everything we do. And I give you praise, Lord God, that there are those here tonight that fully receive this precious word. And I pray for those that are struggling, for those that are seeking to have insight, wisdom, understanding, that they might not leave until this seed is planted, and the enemy that would, like a bird, come along to steal the seed and take away the understanding, that those birds we just shoo away right now. Satan, in the name of Jesus, you will not stop this word from anyone that's here.
But this word shall go deep into the soul, into the very soul of each person here, until heart and soul and body are filled with the glory of God. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. God is good. God is good.
Good word.
Amen.
Yahoo!